السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ، ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشہد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفمن يعلم أنما أنزل إليك من ربك الحق كمن هو أعمى إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. الذين يوفون بعهد الله ولا ينقضون الميثاق، والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب. صدق الله العظيم.
علماء کرام، most respected brothers, I have recited some آیات of سورۃ الرعد 18, 19, and 20. Now we have been discussing this over the past 3 or 4 weeks, and many aspects of this verse has already been discussed. But of course it is the Qur'an Sharif, and the Qur'an Sharif is an ocean. There is no bottom to this ocean. People have been writing tafasir, they have been commentating, they have been expounding, and they have been talking for ages and ages, but nobody can reach any kind of completion. I mentioned on some other occasion that if you have to look at the tafasir of the Quran Sharif in Baghdad and many other places, in those days, the volumes that were written, it's unbelievable. There is a report of even a tafsir that was of 200 volumes. 200 volumes, what must have been in there? But of course, when the libraries of Baghdad were destroyed, the waters of the Euphrates and the waters of the rivers there, the ink of those books, due to the destruction that took place, the inks of those books turned the waters of the rivers into ink. That much, because it used to be handwritten. What legacy of Islam, what legacy of the Muslims were destroyed? It is because of our weakness, our shortcomings. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not have muhabbat with just names. Muslim names are not sufficient for Allah ta'ala's muhabbat, and Allah ta'ala's nusrat, and Allah ta'ala's help. It is not sufficient. If it was sufficient, then Abdullah bin Ubay, so his first name is Abdullah, banda of Allah ta'ala. Yet he was the ra'asul munafiqeen, the leader of the hypocrites, the leader of the munafiqeen, but his name was Abdullah. Like that, so many other munafiqeen in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they had Muslim names. What other names did they have? So if we think that just because we have Muslim names, or in countries that we claim to be Muslim countries, we have large population who are Muslims, so it is sufficient now for Allah ta'ala's nusrat and help to reach them, irrespective of what their actions are and what their deeds are, then it's not going to happen. The whole history of Islam we have, that when the Muslims were obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then look at the progress that they made. Look at the progress, look at the taraqqi, as we say, they made. And under what difficult conditions Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala assisted them and helped them. The opposition can be fully armed, The opposition can have large numbers. The opposition can have everything that we can think of from the material world to support their armies. But Allah Ta'ala's angels, who can fight them? Allah Ta'ala sent His angels down in the Battle of Badr and other places. So Allah Ta'ala's nusrat and help will come when the Muslims first have their actions according to the Quran and Sunnah. Now this is something that we listen to repeatedly in all lectures and talks and waaz and nasihats. We say the same thing, everybody else says the same thing. Even if the person is not obeying Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in fact they are in the midst of haram, but they too, they will say the same thing. That it is in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends down His help and assistance. And there is no lack of evidence, the whole Islamic history is filled. Now we are very quick to blame everybody else but ourselves. For whatever is happening around the world, we blame everybody else but ourselves. You can see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing His force and His power. Wherever earthquakes and tremors and disasters take place nowadays, then most of the times they say that for the first time in 100 years, for the first time in 200 years, for the first time in decades, for the first time after decades, this disaster has taken place. Look at Haiti now. It's very sad, whether it is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, we should not look at that. Any person suffering, it should pain our heart. It is a different issue that the person, if he has left this world as a Muslim and as a believer, then it is a kind of shahadat and the person will get jannat. But on the other hand, if the person is a disbeliever, then of course we know that Jahannam is the abode. But the people who are still living and suffering, then there is no question of Muslim or non-Muslim. It is our duty to help and assist. But the fact is that we must take lessons. We must take lessons. The mighty powers of the world, so-called mighty powers, superpowers, with all their military might and with everything at their disposal, can do absolutely nothing. Which Al-Qaeda was behind it? Why didn't they go looking and searching for Al-Qaeda that caused the destruction, that brought about the collapse of so many buildings and the loss of thousands of lives? They cannot even count at present how many gone. The tsunamis that came, 250,000, they said this could be worse than that. But we are only satisfied with a little bit of comment, some comment we make. Tabsira, as they call it. Our majalis are full of tabsira, meaning we pass comments, we sit down and have discussion. That's all, discussion. This happened, that happened. But what lessons did we take from that? Look at Allah Ta'ala's power, and this is just a fraction, not even a fraction, of that power that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has. It's not even a fraction of it. Just His hukam, that's all. Kun fayakun. Finish. No preparation required, that first you must build up some kind of military strength and power and accumulate weapons and force and thereafter go and attack. Nothing like that. Allah Ta'ala's army is unlimited. Everything comes to a standstill just with Allah Ta'ala's one army, and that is the snow. In these superpowers, in our countries we do not have as that much snowfall as they have in Europe, in America, in Canada. In these parts of the world, the amount of snow that they have, other countries don't have that much. We have some snowfall now and again. But these powers which claim to be superpowers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shows it with the soft flakes of snow that fall. They use all the military might, they have steel and armored plates and everything else, Allah Ta'ala sends down soft, flaky snow. And it keeps coming and coming and coming until it forms ice. And finished, the person's cars cannot move, the tanks cannot move, the aeroplanes cannot take off. Everything at a standstill, complete standstill. Now that is just one part of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's army. Just one part. Snowfall and everything at a standstill. Gale force winds, drought, famine, earthquakes, tsunamis, all these things. If everything has to be put together, and just for a few minutes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes it to run through the countries of the world, can anybody survive? So we take no lessons from this. That is our weakness. We put our blame on everybody else but ourselves. 4,000 Muslim shops burned in Karachi. 4,000 in just one area. 4,000 Muslim shops were burnt. Now who burned those Muslim shops? Now we will blame everybody. Just the other day we were talking and somebody was saying that it's America behind this and so behind it and so behind it. I said there can be many, many people behind it. Will the enemies of Islam ever have a nice conference and have a big get together and thereafter announce that we should all support the Muslim Ummah and we should work towards unity in the Muslim Ummah and we must make sure that the Muslim Ummah attains great heights and reaches the highest levels of success and prosperity and progress? Will any enemy of Islam do that? Do we expect that from anybody? Or they will work hard that the Muslim Ummah must make namaz 5 times a day, give zakat, fast. They are going to do what they are going, what they are meant for. And that is opposition, enmity, hatred. Now in that they will do a lots of things. Treachery, betrayal. Look at the war that took place in 1967. On the one hand it was as if Russia was a great friend of Egypt. And after that what happened? So there is a great weakness, a major weakness that we have, but we place the blame on others. They will do what they have to do, but if the Muslim Ummah is united, if they say that we are not going to fall for these temptations, we are not going to be bought off by the dollars and the pounds and the euros, irrespective of what amount they flood into our country, we are not going to accept. We will rather survive on the bare necessities. Instead of having palaces and mansions and bungalows, we will live in desert sand. We will live in the tents, but we will not be bought off. We will not become a commodity for sale. That the greater the price paid by some other country, then the greater our saliva flows. We will not become that. Otherwise, in which time and chapter of Islamic history were the bribes not offered? Was there any time that bribes were not offered? Look at the history of Islam. Which time can we say that bribes were not offered? Right from the very beginning bribes were offered. This is what I mentioned to the person. Right from the very beginning bribes were offered. So there is nothing to worry about third force and fourth force. Of course we have to be alert, we have to be vigilant. We cannot go to sleep and say, well, everything will happen as is supposed to be happening and there's no responsibility and obligation on the Ummah at large. That is not Islam. In Islam there was programming, there was administration, there was defense, there was preparation, military preparation, everything was there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I have mentioned this many times and I will keep on repeating if it comes to my mind at an appropriate time because nothing planned. I have repeated this many times that when it comes to tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we mention these incidents, no doubt, that Allah ta'ala sent down the angels. The Muslims were only 313 in the battle of Badr. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down angels, 3,000 or 5,000. So So does it mean that after the Muslims experience victory because of this assistance and help of Allah Ta'ala, so therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in all future battles never made any preparation? When it came to the battle of Uhud, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addressed the Sahabas and said that, my dear companions, you all saw how we were victorious in the battle of Badr, where we had not really set out for battle, we had just gone to capture that caravan, and it ended up with battle, and there were only 313 of us, but Allah Ta'ala sent down His help, and we saw even the angels with our own eyes, so therefore now there's no need for any preparation, go and sleep, and Allah Ta'ala will give us victory. Did He say that? Look at the preparation that He's making. He's wearing coat of arms, He's wearing helmet. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making the full preparation. He's making the safs of the Sahabas, giving them every kind of direction. Of course, the whole battle of Uhud, if you have to discuss it, is really something that inspires a person. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made preparation for that battle. 70 Sahabas came shaheed in that battle. With their blood, they wrote the history of Islam. Uhud ke shaheedo ke khune wafa se sabak le ke paband dastur honga. So there was no question of the Muslims having gone to sleep after that. They made full preparation. Again, look at the other battles, the Battle of Trench again. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not say that the angels will come and dig up the trench. Did he say, after Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had advised that we dig up a trench, and that was a time when poverty was at its extreme, when the greatest after Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahabi said that I've got a stone tied on my belly due to hunger, then he raises up his kurta and shows two stones tied to his belly. But he's engaged in the digging of the trench. So again there was preparation. He didn't say that the angels will come down and dig up the trench. Whatever was within the means and capacity of the Muslims, they used. And then they trust in Allah Ta'ala. But they knew that the real help of Allah Ta'ala will come only on their obedience. This they knew very, very well, that it's only in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala that help will come. So I was saying that this 4,000 or these 4,000 shops that were burned in Karachi, whichever third force was behind it, whether it was the Americans behind it or the Jews behind it or the Zionists behind it or whoever was behind it, we got no problem with that. In all ages, in all times, these type of things happen. The enemy is united. Look at the confederation of the armies in the same battle of trench. But how Allah Ta'ala then sent His mother than hell. So these bribes were offered from those days. To say Egypt was bribed, this one was bribed and that one was bribed. We understand they were bribed, but who are they? Are they not Muslims? So why should we blame those who are offering the bribes? Why should we not blame those who are accepting the bribes? Why is it that all the time we are thinking of those who are offering the bribes, that we give you so much dollars a year, we give you so much of euros a year, we give you so much of military assistance and technology and everything else. So those who are offering the bribe, they are doing their job. We have to think of ourselves, that why should we accept those bribes? Was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam not offered a bribe? So this bribe thing is carrying on from the very, very early days of Islam. They said, if you want wealth, then we will give you any amount of wealth that you ask for. If you're interested in marrying, then we'll get you married to the best of our women. And if you want to be our chief, we'll make you our chief. Whatever it is. But you must not propagate this deen. I'm just giving you the gist of it. But you must not propagate this deen. You must not call people towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. You must not ask them to distance themselves from the worship of idols. You must not invite towards Islam, in other words. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his reply? even if you give me the sun on my right hand and moon on the left. Told his uncle, tell them that even they give the sun in the right hand, moon on the left, then too I will not give it up. So bribes was offered. Right from that time bribes were offered. So if our Muslim countries are accepting those bribes, if they are unconcerned, look at the drones that are being used. In whose country they are using it? From whose country they are launching it? And who are they destroying with those drones? They can say so many militants died, so many militants died. Who are those militants? But if the ihsas of the ummah is dead, then who do you blame? We have become a nation that is murda now. Money has become our god. There are a few exceptions in the world, there may be. But generally money has become our god. For the sake of money, a person is unconcerned, and that is what these ayat were referring to also when we're talking about the rights, when we're talking about relationships, when we're talking about family. Allah Ta'ala asked us to maintain those ties. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how many places and how many times he gave glad tidings to the people who maintain family ties. Help and assist those people who are in need, especially in the family. What is the purpose of building huge masajid and giving millions towards madrasas and other kinds of projects? Nothing wrong in giving. When the person's own sister, own brother, own father, own mother, own family member is suffering, is in distress, what will Allah Ta'ala be pleased with? We don't say you mustn't give it for all other projects, must give as much as you wish to. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the emphasis that he placed. So the maintenance of those ties. I was saying, look at these drones which they are using. From which country are they launching? Are they launching it from America? Logistical support, they say, our country gives them logistical support. So money has become our god. In the pursuit of this money, the person is unconcerned who dies in the process, who is killed, whose shops are burnt, and whose possessions are destroyed, and which family ties are broken, the person is unconcerned. We are happy, our namaz is excellent, our namaz is excellent. They say in our country, namaz is, our masajid are packed to capacity. Therefore that hadith sharif again, last week which we discussed at length, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said to the effect, that if a person has got four things, is blessed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with four things, then he does not have to grieve and disappointed that he does not have anything else in his life. There are lots of things people have in their lives. Person can have good home, good shop, good car, good children, plenty of wealth, everything he can have. Nothing wrong with that. If Allah Ta'ala blesses the person with that, there's nothing wrong. As long as it comes in a halal way, and the person uses it correctly. But what is to be really acquired is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that if the person has got those four things, then he doesn't have to bother that he is deprived of anything else, or he doesn't have anything else. And the first thing they mentioned was trustworthiness. Trustworthiness, truthfulness in speech, good akhlaq and character, and halal earnings, these four things. I discussed it at length last week. Person must have trustworthiness. Amanat must be fulfilled. This is what these ayat were discussing. The pledge and promise that the person has made with Allah Ta'baraka wa Ta'ala, or with whomsoever the person has made any kind of pledge and promise, it has to be fulfilled. Not taking it very casual that this is amanat, so what? The only thing that we know of amanat is if somebody gives us some few rands to look after. But I explained that everything is an amanat. Our life is an amanat. Our sight is an amanat. Our hearing and speech is amanat. Our time is amanat. If we're working for somebody, that is amanat. If the person is a boss, he's Amin also. If the person is a father, then he's also Amin. His children are his amanat. It's a great explanation also. So the fulfillment of all that and truthfulness in speech. Now this is lacking. You look at trustworthiness, how many people complain, how many people without exaggeration. My brother was in charge and he transferred everything into his name. My uncle was in charge, he transferred everything into his name. I left something and went and gave power of attorney. So the person really exercised that power of attorney and took away all the power that I had. He transferred all the power to himself. There was nothing left after that. Look at the cheating in weight and measurement in our shops and businesses. How many a time we know that what is marked on that garment or what is marked on that article or in the packaging, or when the person is actually weighing, then there are different methods of cheating and deceiving. Poor people, poor customers, they do not even know. They come from the villages here and there, or from the rural areas, and they come there to the cashier. Because of those cash registers and the technology, where do they know about it? So the person starts pressing a few buttons here and there, but in the meantime is already starting it off with 5 rand and 6 rand and 10 rand extra. And then he will give you one chewing gum, free. Who are we cheating? Then when the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes, it comes in different forms. For the person himself and his family and his friends, or his own society, he becomes an azab. Therefore we are told that if you see anything wrong, then stop it. Man ra'a minkum munkaran fal yughayyirhu bi yadi. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطْعِحْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطْعِحْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. The person can use force without creating any kind of fitna, because that is from the government level. But within the level of the home, the person has got some authority over his children and others. Then without creating fitna, then it is permissible to use a certain degree of authority. If the person cannot do that, then bilisani, with his tongue at least say something. We have completely stopped saying anything to anybody. All the time we just say, well, it's going to create problems, it's going to create problems. So if we're going to keep saying create problem, then how are we going to make amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar? If everybody says that no, mustn't tell anybody anything, then can deen spread, can we have Amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar? He gives the example that if a person is sitting in the wuzu khana there, and the person next to him has got the tap wide open, it's flowing, the water is flowing, gushing, and this person is making miswak, at that time to politely tell that person that it is not permissible to waste water, it's israf. Tell him politely. He may get upset, but it is our duty to tell the person. In the same way, there are many, many things. And this is just one small example I'm just giving to you. Within the home, outside the home, in our businesses. In the business also, there are partners, and one partner wants to go to the bank and borrow money on interest and then say, we will make our business progress and we'll be able to make much, much more and all that. So the other partner has to tell him, I'm very sorry, we either we terminate our partnership, but I can't buy cancer. Because touching interest, paying interest to the banks, or taking interest is cancerous. It not only destroys the wealth, sometimes it even destroys the iman of the person. If the person begins to justify everything. And most of the time, those people who are borrowing big, big monies from the banks, they are the ones who've got big homes, they've got properties, they've got timeshares, they've got boats and ships sometimes. And they're still borrowing from the banks. At one time it was a common trend. Why are they borrowing so much from the banks? Because We do not know what's going to happen. 94, so we do not know what's going to happen. Just before that, when there was a fear of revolution and destruction of life and property, so they said, borrow from the banks, so that if anything happens, then you leave everything behind and carry on. So who loses? The bank loses. We don't lose anything. Monkey tricks, as they say. The Bani Israel, one time, the monkey tricks they were playing. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told them there was not fish on Saturday. So on Friday night, they're going to put the nets, and they're going to put the rods, and they're going to put everything. And on Saturday morning, plenty of fish comes. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is to also send plenty full of fish on the Saturday. And it fills up in all those nets, and then they pull it out on Sunday. Then they say, we never fished on Saturday. So Allah Ta'ala ordered that they must be turned into apes and pigs. So let us take life a little more seriously. We don't say you mustn't be cheerful, you mustn't be happy, you mustn't be laughing, no joking, nothing. That is not Islam. In Islam there's a place for laughter, for joke, for happiness, for cheer, for everything. But within the heart there must be that khawf of Allah Ta'ala. Khashiyat in our hearts. Azmat of Allah Ta'ala must be weighing in our hearts. Allah is watching us. He is the all-powerful, almighty, all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing creator. And as I explained that, look at his power. We pity those people who are suffering in Haiti and other parts of the world where there's disasters. And whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims, as I said, it is our duty to help. But take the lessons that look at Allah Ta'ala's might, Allah Ta'ala's power, Allah Ta'ala's qudrat. Can we say our homes are very, very secure? Our buildings are very, very secure. Our flats are very secure. We got all the latest technology. And the foundation of our building is gone deep into the ground. Therefore, nothing can happen. Let us not fool ourselves. That is what the people of the towers also thought at one time. 9-11 they talk about. On the 8th, we were right there at the towers. And whilst looking at the towers, this is what those American brothers were saying. Polished building, this, that. Then some other American we met. Oh, America is a great country, great country. No crime, no this, no that. We can leave everything outside. Your South Africa, a lot of crime. Our American parks and our American buildings and our American technology and American this and American that. And next thing, that same evening, in the Bayan there, in one of the masjids. Believe me, that masjid was packed to capacity that night. And from the little child to the eldest person, there are witnesses who want to ask them. There was something that happened that none of us can really put a tab on. Little children to the eldest, white bearded people, they were crying like babies in that dua. And I myself was feeling something is going to happen. And I mentioned in that bayan there that I have traveled many countries with Allah Ta'ala's fazal, and I've given bayans in many, many places. And wherever I traveled, I felt comfortable. But this is one trip that I've been feeling very, very restless, as if something is going to happen. One friend was forcing, he says, please change your program and schedule, and I want to take you to Florida. And because of the pressure that he was putting, I confirmed it, and then again I said, no, leave it for some other time. And the next day, it was exactly the same flight that he was talking about. We arrived this side, and breakfast time we heard about what happened there. So they were tall towers. Now look at Dubai's competition. There's no more competition in good deeds, good actions. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majmain were recognized by their competition in good deeds and actions. Our whole competition is in nothing but exactly that in which the kuffar, the mushrikeen, Yahud and Nasara compete. Don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that it is not permissible to build huge and tall buildings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the competition that Dubai was competing. And they say that this building, 200 floors or whatever they call it, It's the highest building now in the world. But when somebody had to ask the contractors that what is the limit, they said there's no limit. We don't know. In other words, we'll keep on observing and watching. If any other country has to reach that height, then we'll put another 1 month floor. And if somebody reaches that height, then we'll put another extra floor. So we'll always remain with the tallest and the highest. Ana rabbukumul a'la, Fir'aun said. Pride. In what? Sahabas, did they take pride in their material possessions? Nothing wrong. I keep on repeating because we may think that is, we are saying that you must live a life of a hermit or leave everything and go away to the jungles and forests on the mountain tops. We're not saying that. What I am saying is that when will we compete in good deeds and actions? Sahaba-e-Kiram, they were recognized by that. Look at the Bukhari Sharif and read the Hadith Sharif there on the Sahabas that took part in the Battle of Badr. With their names it is there and it is read for Barakat also. When people have got problems and difficulties, they read that and they make dua to Allah Ta'ala with the Barakat of there. Allah Ta'ala removes the difficulty. The Sahabas that were Badriyin, they said, they took part in the Battle of Badr. They said, this Sahabi took part in the Battle of Uhud. So and so Sahabi lost his life in the Battle of Uhud. 70 of them. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an, Ghusl was wajib on him, but when he heard the call of jihad, he just rushed and it was his first night, he had just married. But he rushed and he passed away. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down the malaika to give ghusl to Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made inquiry that he is seeing angels giving ghusl to Hazrat Hanzala, because a shaheed is not given ghusl and change of clothes and kafan. That this was the reason that ghusl was farz on him when he rushed to the jihad. Look at Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala. That young person who used to wear the best of clothes. But now when he's being buried, there's not enough material to give kafan. When they cover his face, the feet gets open. And when they cover the feet, the face gets open. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, cover his face and put grass on his feet. That is the external. What we are seeing with our eyes and in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at the status and position. So where was the competition? Was it in what kind of garments he wore? Or how much of wealth he had? Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala had plenty of wealth. Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala had so much of wealth, read the Hadith Sharif, how much he left behind when he passed away. But what do they talk about when we talk about these Sahaba? Do they talk about how much they had and how much they left behind? Or do they talk about how much they spent in the cause of deen and jihad and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's, the deen, the propagation of that, and in welfare and social and purchases of wells and making water available, paying high prices for orchards and making it waqf and all. Those were the things that they used to talk about. In other words, the Muslim used to be recognized by his activities of deen, that how much did he spend and how much of efforts did he make and how much of sacrifice did he make for the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That was what was the basis of their recognition. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Anyway, do they just talk about so much of wealth he had and full stop? Do they talk about that? Now our competition is who has the tallest building, who has the highest bank balance, who drives the best car, who has his home furnished the best, which person's business is the most flourishing, who has the most investments. Now this is a, when we talk, then we say that so and so, this is his condition. And these things mean nothing in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's sight. If these things were of great worth, then he would not have given the Jews and the enemies of Islam even an iota of them. So it is not something that distinguishes a person. Again, don't misunderstand me. There is nothing wrong. If the person is very rich, and is spending also like that, is earning it in a halal way, nothing wrong. All I am saying is that that does not distinguish the person. when it comes to Islam and Deen. Islam and Deen is what were his good actions, how was that wealth used. And if he did not have wealth, then he had physical health, then how did he use his health? Because sometimes a person doesn't have wealth, but is very fit and strong person, so what did he do with that? Did he only pick up weights and become the Superman? And they say, who is so and so? Well, he picks up heavy weights, 500 kg, 1000 kg he can pick up. And he can push a truck. And he can pull a ship. Now, is that what a Muslim is recognized by? So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the trustworthiness, truthfulness in speech, and good character and akhlaq. This is something that I've been emphasizing. Good character and akhlaq. Deal with other people as we would like to be dealt with ourselves. Anything that causes another person inconvenience, disturbance, hurt, injury and pain through our action, then we must understand that if we would not like that to happen to us, then how can we allow that to happen to someone else? Politeness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, forgiveness in his life, sincerity, charity, humility, istighfar and tawbah, khushu and khuzu in his namaz, his zikrullah, his ibadah, his standing in tahajjud prayers until his feet swell. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his life from all angles. There was ibadat in there. There was his muamalat and his muasharat, his dealings, his transactions. In everything we find nothing but beauty, beauty. Which person in his family had problem with good akhlaq and halal earning, halal earning. There's no need to go towards anything that is haram. Therefore I have mentioned before also, and as I said, if it comes to mind, I will repeat. It has helped many a person. Without exaggeration, people who have listened to it on the internet, some have heard it on the tape, some have heard it on the radio stations, and I get letters from, and telephone calls and SMSs, Maulana, that point that you mentioned, about gambling and haram, really affected my heart, and I made sure that I will not ever touch any haram again. And many of them started paying back what had to be paid back, what they had taken as interest from people. One person actually sold his two properties and paid back the interest for three properties. And I had told him that inshallah Allah Ta'ala, that one that is left will give so much barakah that you won't believe it. Those people from whom he had charged interest when he was returning there, they thought Christmas came early this year. Non-Muslims, they were wondering what's wrong with this man. So halal earnings. So what I normally say is that whether it is 1 million, 10 billion or 100 billion, anything that is coming in a haram way, a Muslim must truly, truly believe that that is nothing but pigs. If a person is informed that you have won 1 billion pigs and they will be delivered, you tell us which farm it must be delivered to, which type. And we'll have the cameras there, and we'll have the media there. Will any Muslim in his true senses say, yes, yes, I'll be extremely happy. I'm making the arrangement. Or he will say, please don't even come near me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I don't think in his life he would read la hawl in such a loud voice as on that occasion. What is the difference between that pig and what is the difference? And that money which comes through the lotto or through the casino. The lotto is actually luto. Loot the people. Look at the poor people. They say 3 rand, 5 rand, 10 rand. But that man's whole wage packet sometimes goes in the expectation of those millions that will come. Expectation. His wage packet is gone. Few people will become rich and the rest of them will become poor. So that haram which is coming is nothing but pigs. So the moment there's a temptation to go towards any haram, irrespective of how many millions, just visualize so many billion pigs, so many billion pigs. Therefore, we should not even say how fortunate that person. I mentioned in one bayan that our ladies especially, when they hear that somebody won 16 million, 20 million, 30 million, how fortunate, how lucky that person. A Muslim, if he's a Muslim, then he's not lucky, he's very unfortunate, very, very unfortunate, having won that money. It'll destroy his iman too. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, if the person has got those four qualities, then he mustn't worry about anything else. So these bribes, again we go back to the starting point, these bribes is something that is carrying on. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was being bribed. So why put our blame all the time on others? Who is the cause of all this? I thought we will discuss some ayat tonight. Whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wills, there's khair in it. And that is the whole purpose also of this little majlis, or this majalis that take place. This is the purpose. To light up our hearts with the muhabbat and love of Allah ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and to commit ourselves to His obedience. And then we will find sukoon in our lives, we will find happiness, we will find peace, there will be muhabbat, there will be cheer, there will be laughter, there will be everything. If not, then there will be nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. And that is what we all are facing in these days. Sometimes it is somebody that is in the house that is engaged in such kind of haram and vices and sins. Unfortunately, the others also have to suffer the consequences, but then Allah Ta'ala will reward those people who are innocent. He will bless them in different ways and forms. But it becomes the duty of those who are good in that house to warn those people and tell them that your actions and your deeds, put it right, otherwise it's going to bring problem upon us also. That is where Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar will come again. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of Amal wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa jama'ihi. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Forgive each and every one of us. We are extremely sinful. We are the most sinful servants of God on the surface of the earth. My beloved Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, Ummat of Rasul-e-Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us all with hidayat, my Allah. Bless us all with hidayat. Remove from our hearts malice, greed, pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, make us Muslims in the true sense of the word. Bless us with a life of piety, of taqwa. Make us all trustworthy, truthful, honest, righteous. Make each and every one of us, my beloved Allah, earn our livelihood in a completely halal and pure way. My beloved Allah, bless us with rizq which is halal. Don't even let a morsel of haram go down our throats. Let our akhlaq be that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, throughout the world the Ummah is suffering. Throughout the world mankind is suffering. Our actions and our deeds are the cause of the suffering of mankind around the globe. Forgive us and forgive them. Remove their difficulties, their pain, their suffering, their hardships. Whether in Haiti or anywhere else, my beloved Allah. In Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia. So many parts of Africa and other parts of the world, mankind and the Ummah at large is suffering. Ya Allah, with your fazl and kindness and ihsan, remove their suffering. Especially that of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed so much for the sake of his Ummah. When he is informed of the condition of his Ummah, at each other's necks and throats, killing, murdering, burning, looting, destroying the lives and properties of other Muslims. My beloved Allah, Muslims in casinos, discos, theaters, cinemas, rave clubs, drugs, porn sites, adultery, fornication. Ah, my Allah, which sin is there in which we are not engaging? If it had not been for the rahmat of rahmatul lil alameen, we would have been also destroyed. But my Allah, we are turning towards you. ہم گنہگار ہے, سیاہکار ہے, بدکار ہے, مجرم اور خطاکار ہے. ہم گندے ہیں, ناپاک اور نالائق ہیں. ہم نمک حرام ہے. ہم سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے. Open the doors of your forgiveness for us. Open the doors of your mercy for us. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, homes, or amongst us, give them complete shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties with halal risk. Those who have no employment, give them halal employment. Those who are in search of marriage partners, give them compatible, righteous marriage partners. Those who are having marital problems, my beloved Allah, put unity and happiness and love between the hearts. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Make our children the coolness of our eyes. Sadfaya jariya for us. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept all the works of deen. تبلیغ دعوت کی محنت قبول فرما, گشت تعلیم اجتماعات کو قبول فرما, مساجد مدارس خانقاہوں کو قبول فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. My beloved Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations, tamanna that is in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night in this majlis of tafsir of the Quran Sharif. Ya Allah, fulfill the good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazl, kindness and ihsan, remove their difficulties, pain, suffering, problems. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.